listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality
with Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona. So, what is my last name? Priscilla Leona. I don't even know who I am today. We are coming to you live from LA Talk Radio. It's located in beautiful downtown Los Angeles, and it's a gorgeous view out, as always, looking at millions of little tiny squares, which are windows, in a big, 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 tall building. I can actually see Albert's building from here. He works a short way away from here in this gorgeous, gorgeous building. Actually, that's where they filmed a movie that we just saw recently called Collateral. I think they film so many movies over there. What other movies have they filmed over there, Albert? The Keanu Reeves one. We can't remember names of movies. We just remember the Martin Lawrence. We just remember buildings and who was in them. We can't remember the names hardly. Anyway, we are on every Sunday from 5 to 5:50 p.m. And as you know by now, our show is about informative entertainment. And that means that it's our goal to provide you with resource information, tricks of the trade, and all kinds of advice that you'll need in order to pursue a career in the entertainment business. No matter what type of entertainment, we usually have guests that cover just about everything. We have singers, actors, dancers, models, musicians, producers, directors, writers, you name it, we have it. And we also have some surprise celebrity guests, and I'm going to tell you about one that'll be on our show that I know most of you are going to know, and she's just adorable, and she made this one phrase so famous, and everyone knows her by that now. I just met her at an audition last week. Now, we hope to inspire you and encourage you and motivate you by interviewing people that are currently making their dream a reality in show business. So we hope that we can do that, and you call in, and we encourage you to do that and ask any questions of our guest, and we'd like you to call between 5:15 and 5:30 if possible, so we have enough time to answer the questions and then wrap the show up. Now, the number that you would call is area code 323-203-0815. And we take your calls directly. You don't have to go through a screening process to be on the air with us. I am here and I have my little tech guy here, and he will click on you and you will be able to talk to whatever guest is on at the time. Now, if you liked our show and you found that it helped you in any way, we'd love to hear about it on the forum. We have a link on the forum of the LA Talk Radio website, and it only takes a minute to register. Just enter your email address and choose a password and you're done. And you can comment on any of the guests and talk about the show, ask any questions, or you can, if you are in the entertainment business and feel you can contribute, you could possibly be a guest. So you can also go to our website directly if you want to see some of our upcoming guests. You can go to questionreality.us. Not .com, questionreality.us, and you can see who else is going to be on the show in the upcoming months. And we have a very intriguing guest with us today. Actually, I think I use that word every week. I'm going to have to get a new description word. But she is. I imagine she is. I think all my guests are intriguing or I wouldn't have them on the show, right? She is, her name is Sue Publicover. And she is a writer, and an editor, a copywriter, and a chief executive wordsmith. Isn't that nice? And she works for a company called writersoftheroundtable.com. Now, I know that you probably have heard this name before on the show, and it's because on July 6th, actually, we had a guest. Her name was Sophie Mukhtari, and she had just written a book called China Girl, A Daughter's Journey, and it was about to launch on August the 8th, the same day as the Olympics, and we had her on here talking about her book and And she was telling us about how Writers of the Round Table had basically taken her from the beginning to the end. And I went to their website, I checked it out, and I thought it was a fantastic venue for someone who is interested in writing a novel or I think just about writing anything. I'm going to talk to Sue more about what all they cover, but as far as I know, they do help people who are writing manuscripts or have written a manuscript to take it from beginning to end. We're going to find out what all that entails. Now, Sue Publicover is officially noted by writersoftheroundtable.com as a She's a chief executive wordsmith for Writers of the Roundtable. And again, this is an online company that provides development and marketing of written content for a diverse array of clients. And I want to find out who these clients are. So hopefully she can start us out by telling us what kind of clients they would be. Now, her background, I'm going to let you tell you about her background, but I know that she's was in advertising and marketing for about 25 years, and she basically helps the clients at writersoftheroundtable.com explore innovative methods for promoting their written work. So I imagine that they will have had to have written it. Did you like that? Her experience is, I don't know if they work with people who haven't written a book before. That's what we want to talk about too. We want to find that out. And her experience, she was a writer, an editor, copywriter. And I guess that really helps people who want to write a book find the right words. I would imagine these are perfect qualifications. Now, Sue has taught strategic marketing. She's written seminars. She's authored, co-authored countless articles on more than a dozen ebooks and topics ranging from credit building, which most Americans do need these days. So I imagine she's in hot demand, to potty training, which that is fascinating in itself. So she probably, she's probably going to be the best one to tell us this, but I imagine it doesn't matter what type of subject that you have that you want to write about or have written about. I guess the rules just apply, basic English, putting it together, parallel structure, run-on sentences, grammatical errors. I imagine that is what all that applies. So don't feel like they just do certain types of books, and we're going to find out about that. So without further ado, let's just bring her on. Are you there, Miss Sue Publicover?
I'm right here, Priscilla.
And she is coming to us live. She is not in the studio. Where are you today, Sue?
I am on the coast of Maine.
Woo! Maine lobsters. Have you had your lobster today?
Well, I wish I could, but I'm one of those people that can't eat shellfish, so I'm living in the wrong state.
You are in the wrong state. We were talking a couple weeks ago, and Sue and I share a love of being barefoot. I cannot stand shoes, and she cannot either. And I said, what the heck are you doing in Maine? You need to be in Southern California with your feet roaming around on the beach in the sand. And she agreed.
You have to experience going outside in the snow with just your slippers on before you can say that.
That's how
much I hate shoes.
Well, I know. I agree with you. And I'm actually from New England myself. I'm from Connecticut. So you're a little further up. So you're a little bit of a colder area than I was. But I actually like to walk barefoot in the snow. That was one of the things that would drive my mother crazy. She'd swear I was going to die of pneumonia every day, but never did. Yeah. I hardly got any colds, as I haven't hardly throughout my whole life. So how do you like it in Maine? Are you from Maine? Tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be who you are today.
Well, I don't know how far back you want to know about me,
I'm a New
Englander.
If we have to go back to the 30s, let's just skip forward to...
Well, 30s is a little old for me. I'm a New Englander, grew up North Shore, Boston, went to college in New Hampshire. Then I lived for 18 years in Vermont, and I moved to Maine a year ago. So I'm working my way through every state in New England.
Woo! Man, you are! Connecticut's got to be next, right?
Well, you know, that's on the radar, but we'll see. I'm loving Maine.
Yeah, Maine is
beautiful,
great.
Beautiful up here.
It is great. You know, oh, my God.
Yeah, I need to be near the beach.
And they got some hot fishermen, too.
Yeah.
You take walks down to pretend like you're looking for lobsters and check out the fishermen?
Well, you got to go down by the pier, actually.
Yeah, that might be a little scary for a single woman these days. My goodness. So let me ask you, so you work for writersoftheroundtable.com. Now, I haven't spoken with, tell us a little bit about Writers of the Roundtable. Let's start with the question that I had. Now, let me give the website again. I guess somebody figured that out, but it's writersoftheroundtable.com. So everybody go and click on that. And it's a gorgeous little website. I really like who did that design? Because I have a website design company, and I thought, oh, I really like that website. So it's writersoftheroundtable.com, exactly how it sounds, writersoftheroundtable.com. So let's start with the question that I wanted to ask. What type of clients does Writers of the Roundtable cater to? Is it everyone, or do you specialize in a certain type of client?
Well, we work with a wide variety of clients. Basically, it's people who have a story to tell but have difficulty pulling it together. We work with a lot of people who've had very emotional stories, like Sophie Mukhtar. You mentioned her and her book China Girl. That was a fictional story based on her life, and if you've read the book, it tells the story of a young woman in Hong Kong in the 60s, and she has a child out of wedlock, and it goes on, and there's some very difficult things in terms of incest and alcoholism, and it was a story she wanted to empower other women to come out and express themselves and not be hidden behind their secrets. So people like Sophie, and there's other people. We work with this gentleman in Chicago, Robert Renteria, who grew up in the barrio of East Los Angeles and had a very difficult youth, slept in a drawer as an infant. His father was a crack addict and died in a halfway house. And he pulled himself up and has become a successful businessman, and he's giving back to the community. He's working with kids as a mentor. He had a story to tell. He wanted other people to learn from his story. And so we get a lot of people like that. We also get business people who we work with several professional coaches, executive coaches, who want to communicate to other people valuable information that they, they're thought leaders in their industry, but they need help crafting the message. So that's where we come in. And we work with them on their manuscript. Sometimes we co-author. So, it depends on what the client wants to do. It's their story. We're just helping them put the words together and craft it and pull it together in such a way that it's ready to be published.
Okay. Now, I have a question for, did you just say manual script or manuscript?
Manuscript.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. I've heard a couple people call it a manual script, and I thought,
no.
Why are they calling it manual script? I have never heard manual script, but I thought maybe they're mispronouncing it. But I thought, well, I don't want to ask them because I don't want to embarrass them and make them feel bad that they're mispronouncing it when they've just written a book,
That's a mispronunciation. I have heard that too. Probably from the same person, but just a mispronunciation.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy because I thought, wow, I've never heard of one. Maybe, let's find out what a manual script is. My God.
I guess a manual script is one that you write by hand.
Possibly. I think that we need to add that word to the English language now. It could be a possible word. We need to submit it to Webster's.
Hey, why not? Why not? They made Google into a verb. Why can't we have manual script?
That's right. Yahoo too, huh?
Yeah. There's plenty of words that are slipping into the dictionary now.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about beyond the writing. Now, how does one, okay, so you don't work, let's just clear that up. You don't work with people who haven't already written something. They will have had to already have a manuscript.
No.
Oh, okay.
We have people come to us who have the idea.
Okay.
Sometimes they have a manuscript, and Sophie, in fact, she had a rough draft of a manuscript when she came to us, but Robert did not.
Okay.
Robert worked with Corey Blake, who is the owner of the company. He's the chairman of the dream is his title, and those two worked together for almost 2 years crafting that story. So Robert had no writing experience. He had no story, no manuscript, nothing. And in fact, most of the time, the vast majority of the time, people do not have anything in writing. They have the idea, they have the desire to communicate it, and they have a vision and a dream, and they just want to see it through. I mean, there's so much passion to some people, just feeling like I've got to tell somebody this, I've got to share it. Sometimes it's a legacy. Maybe you're not planning on publishing a book, but you want to leave a legacy for your family.
Mm-hmm.
You want to carry on. You've got an impressive story to tell. I mean, my father is 84. He was in World War II in the submarine corps, and I sit with him in the evenings, and he tells me stories about his youth, about being in the war, and that stuff will just disappear if somebody doesn't write it down.
Right, exactly. Okay, so that is why I wanted to make sure that got out there. So people, that's why your company is just, I was so impressed with it, because I believed that you were able to come to writersoftheroundtable.com with just an idea, and you would take it through inception to execution. And that's what I think is so great, because there are so many people that I've met in my life, not only in the entertainment business, but outside as well, who have these same stories, but they are intimidated by the whole aspect and concept of writing. They may not be good spellers, or they may not feel that they can write. And so many stories have just fallen by the wayside and have never been told because they feel intimidated by not having or not feeling that they have the ability to do that. And this was the first company, writersoftheroundtable.com was the first company I had ever heard of. And again, I'm not on the writer circuit. I'm not a novelist, and I don't keep up with the writer's world. But it is the first company that I have heard of that actually will help people who have never written anything from beginning to end, and just walk them through it, work through it, and by the end they end up with a beautiful book with a gorgeous graphic design, like the book China Girl, written by Sophie Mokhtari, which I just finished, and I just was crying. I had my box of Kleenex and my Twinkies right by the bed, and it got me through. And it was incredible. So, I mean, yeah. I just think that your company is so important in that way, and I think it will really help to get your name out there and your company out there for people who want to tell a story and don't necessarily feel that they will ever be able to do it. And especially for people who've actually taken it beyond the step of just the idea and have gone out there and tried to search and tried to self-publish, because I've had so many people tell me, oh my God, it cost a fortune to self-publish, and then you got to do this, and then you got to do that, and you got to do this, and there's like 20,000 steps. And then finally, you know, they just get tired of it. It's such a hassle, and they just give up. So they don't have that compact service and boutique service that you have, where you take them from inception to execution, and there's always the same people that you can feel safe to rely on. So I just think it's an incredible concept. And I know that, Sue, when we were talking on the phone a couple weeks ago, you had also said that it's not only for people who want to write books, but also, I do believe you said that people who want to write screenplays, you do offer something along that lines, or playwright. Do you dwell into that world as well?
Yes, we do. In fact, Corey, whom I mentioned, his background is in film, the film industry. He was an actor, director, and a producer before he founded the company. And we have several people. We have several writers on staff who are working in that genre as well. So yes, we do that.
So, if some, So somebody.
Now, same thing. It's people who have the idea, but they don't know. It's so hard. You say, okay, it's in my head, but I don't know where to take it. And what happens is they end up taking it nowhere, and it's sad. It's sad to think that you can't communicate a really great story.
Absolutely. Now, let's move forward a little bit and go beyond the writing. Let's talk about, okay, so somebody's written a little manuscript, or they've written a play, or whatever they've written. Let's just say a book. How do you market your book? You know, what do you do once you've written your manuscript? Say, you know, I don't know if you want to talk about it from the path of where you are, like, come to Writers of the Roundtable, or if you, I know you don't want to go too in debt in securing a publisher and all that, but you know, rather address how an author can take charge of the marketing power, because you know they're going to end up having to market. Everybody has to market. If you are in the entertainment business, you are an independent business, and you have to market, regardless of whether or not they have a publisher or agent. So let's talk about it from that perspective. How do you market your book?
Well, this is one of the things that we do, and what I wanted to say is we act as mentors for these clients, because it's a very emotional process. And what happens is you put your heart and soul into developing this story. And I don't care whether it's a totally fictional story, or it's a how-to, or it's a business guide. It's still a very emotional process, and it's very personal. So what happens, they develop this manuscript. They have this story, and it's great. And I always give the analogy, it's like having a baby. You cultivate, you nurture, you know, and then all of a sudden you give birth to this baby, and babies don't come with a manual. There's no, what do I do next? And when you have this manuscript, what do I do with it? How do I get it published? Do I publish it myself? Do I work with an independent publisher, commercial? Where do I go? So what we do is our mentoring process continues past the manuscript development. And what I do, my job with the company, is working on the marketing end. And I act as a marketing coach with some writers, with some clients, writers, etc., getting their brain wrapped around the concept of marketing a book. And depending on what the topic is, whether it's a nonfiction or a fiction, it's going to have different markets, different segments. So I work with them to identify who are you talking to, how do we reach them, and we explore various ways of doing it. Now, why this is essential to anybody writing a book, if you're writing nonfiction, for example, you have to submit a book proposal to a publisher. They don't want you to just send in your manuscript. You've got to send it to a publisher or an agent. They want a very carefully crafted book proposal. And that can be daunting in itself, because your average book proposal is anywhere from 30 to 70 pages. And how do you do it? So all of a sudden you've got this wonderful manuscript, but nobody wants to look at it because you don't have a proposal. And how do you make a proposal?
Right.
And one of the things any publisher wants to know is, how do you intend to help us market your book? So whether you're going to publish it on your own and handle all the marketing yourself, or you're going to pursue a commercial publisher, you have to understand the marketing of a book. Everybody thinks, well, I want to get on Oprah. Oprah's going to love my book. And secondly, it's going to be on display at Barnes & Noble or Borders or one of those. And I keep saying, okay, first, no, and second, no. Okay, Oprah has a long line of people who, sure, they all deserve to be there, but she's not going to have every author on the planet, so that's not realistic. All the major bookstores, it's real estate. They're going to put the books up front that are selling a lot of copies. If you're an unknown author, don't expect to do that. So we look at it from a grassroots perspective and say, how can you build your platform and get your book out there and do it in such a way that you can get your name out there virally without the assumption that Oprah's going to interview you and the major bookstore chains are going to put you right up front because you have a great book? There's 170,000 books published per year. We know that there's not space for 170,000 copies on display in the front of your major bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't mean that to be discouraging. If anything, I encourage people because there's so many other ways to promote your book. There's a gazillion ways, depending on what you're trying to do, you can do it, and you don't have to spend a fortune marketing.
Mm-hmm.
The Internet is such a great tool for research, for contacts, for, as I mentioned, a grassroots effort. It's a phenomenal tool, and we have more opportunity now than ever before to market a book. You don't have to be a major author.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
Oh, good. Oh, we heard something go cut off, and I thought you were cut off. Okay, go ahead, Sue.
Oh. Nope. I mean, that in a nutshell.
Could you tell us, would you be giving away any, like, secrets if you just told us a couple, you know, ideas that someone can market? I mean, like, what are you talking about?
Okay, let's say, for instance, you are going to do, you have a how-to book. You want to teach people. Let's go back to, say, for instance, the potty training. I did an e-book on potty training. And I have to tell you, when I got the assignment, it was 72 pages. This person wanted a 72-page book on potty training. I said, oh, my God, I can't imagine writing more than 20.
I can't even imagine more than one. You take the little thing and you put them on the pot and you say, your ass isn't getting up until
you
poop it out.
Yeah, I mean, having
one page,
having
all
potty
caps.
Trained my son and gone through the craziness of that, I said, okay, maybe I could come up with 15 pages. I actually, in doing research, I found I came up with about 80 pages because there was so much theory on the subject.
Wow.
But anyway, let's say you wanted to do a new book on potty training and you wanted to do it in some kind of fun way for the new parent, however you want to do it. All right. I would tell that person, go online, first of all, set up a blog to talk about potty training. Put stories about potty training, tips about potty training. Get a blog going. Go on some of these social networks, like, I know people are going to laugh, Facebook,
mm-hmm.
MySpace,
mm-hmm.
and you could join groups.
Mm-hmm.
You could join parenting groups.
Mm-hmm.
You could join groups of pregnant mothers
mm-hmm.
and offer advice.
Mm-hmm.
You could go to organizations, parenting organizations. You could go to child care organizations. And what you do is you let them know, I've got this book that I'm publishing. Here's what it's going to be about. Hey, I would love for you to take a look at a few chapters and see if it's something that might be of interest to your organization. Now, if you could get an organization that's got 20,000 members nationwide and 10% of them bought that book, that's 2,000 copies with one organization.
Mm.
Okay, so, and then the same with the blogging. Blogging is huge now. People underestimate the power of the blog. They underestimate the power of the social network. This is all getting to know people online and making connections. And next thing you know, the idea is to get other people passing the word about your book.
Wow.
So the best way I see, why rely on the bookstore? When you go into a bookstore, think about how you shop for a book. Unless it's a very specific title, very specific author, let's say you just wanted to learn something, or you felt like reading a mystery, or you want to cook Italian food, you sit there, you poke through the books on that subject, and
mm-hmm.
you pick one, maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is, in the bookstore, your book is competing with all the other ones on that subject. But if you reach these people outside the bookstore, you're not competing against other books. You're introducing the idea to them that, hey, here's a book for you. I know you're not shopping for a book right now, but what about this idea? So you get them in a mindset where they're just thinking, this is a product that's worth having. Not, do I decide between these four titles and pick one?
Mm-hmm.
It's same thing why direct mail works.
Mm-hmm.
You hit somebody in the face with the idea, this is something you hadn't thought about, but you should be thinking about buying this product. Okay, great. Not going into the drugstore and trying to pick between 12 different scents of your lotion. You know, you pick them at a point where they're not actually considering that. It's almost like an impulse buy, like those point of sale when you get up to the register. Oh, you know what? I guess I do need some hand sanitizer. oh, that sugar-free gum, boy, I haven't tried that flavor. That looks great. So it's the impulse buy.
Absolutely. And, you know, the internet, my God, there's, I mean, people are selling music now. I mean, the independent artist, I think there it's only a matter of time before the major labels, there's only a few major record labels available left or left, and because so many people are selling their stuff via the internet. So that's absolutely a great idea and a great tool. I mean, look at the popularity of ebooks. I mean, why go to a bookstore? I mean, some people don't leave the house or don't have time to go shopping for a book like back in the old days. So they elect to get ebooks. So that's a great idea too. Do you offer as part of your service not only to do the hard copy, soft copy, but also put it in ebook format as well and market it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do. In fact, we do. In addition to, well, there's, for instance, Amazon has their Kindle versions, which is, that's where you download it. And we do formatting for that.
Okay.
We also do formatting for ebooks, which is generally a shorter book.
Okay.
And we do a lot of those because you'll find nowadays people don't want a huge book.
Right.
A lot of them, you know, you go in the bookstore now, you see these short books because it's a shorter read. It's not a huge commitment of time.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of those. In fact, I would tell people who want to write, start by writing an ebook.
Absolutely.
And in fact, because you know what? It's like a great warm-up exercise.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you discipline. It gets you into the flow. It helps you learn how to organize your ideas. You know, an ebook, it can still be fiction. It's a short story.
Right.
But then what happens, you build your platform. You get people to sample. It's like going into the supermarket, and they have you sample these things. You say, ooh, that's great. I want more.
Mm-hmm.
So so sell your ebooks.
People
will buy them.
So somebody realistically could write a book and then just go to Amazon and just follow whatever their format is and then upload their book directly to Amazon as an ebook, or do they still have to have a publisher?
You still have to have, because there's, you know, you have to have an ISBN, International Standard Book Number. You go to the Library of Congress. You have to go through copyright because there's certain stages you have to go through.
Now,
so you
see,
still need help doing that.
This is part of what I was talking about earlier, how people want to write a book, but there you got to get a number, just like musicians have to get a barcode from ScanSoft or SoftScan, and you got to get a bar number. It's like, oh my God, how do you find all this out? And yes, you can go to the internet, but there are so many people who have such a short attention span that they just don't want to spend time on the internet looking for it. It's like I personally get so overwhelmed. I go looking for one thing and then I get sidetracked and distracted by something else and then something else. Next thing you know, I'm 25-30 links away from where I was. So there's so much. And that's another great thing about your company is that you say, okay, in order to do this, this is what you need to do. You need to get this barcode thing, ISBN?
ISBN,
and you have to do this. So you take them through ABC 123, which is all people in this day and age want. I mean, long gone are the days of people wanting to do long amounts of research. It's just, you know, people have such a short attention span. So that's what's great about going with a company like yours. Now, is your company the only one of its kind, or are there others out there that do that? Or are you like the forerunners in this industry?
Well, I would like to say we're the forerunner. I don't know of anybody. There are other writing services. There are other companies that will help you with the writing. To my knowledge, none of them help you beyond that.
Okay.
And then you
do the other things like help them get the barcode or the code, and you do the format. So you do so many other things, and they can find all that out on the website. Now let's move on to the author platform. So what is an author platform, and how do I get one if I wanted to write a book? How would I get an author platform?
Well, let's see if we can find you a platform.
Yeah, what's my platform?
Your platform is basically it's your brand. It's who you are. It's who knows you. So Priscilla Leona's platform, you have a website.
Yeah.
You have a radio show.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you wrote a book that is all these different interviews you've done, what you've learned from working with people in the creative industry,
mm-hmm.
and you've put a book together.
Mm-hmm.
So you approach a publisher, and a publisher wants to know your platform. Well, you say, well, I've had this weekly radio show for how long have you had it?
Mm-hmm. Since May.
Okay, so you've had, it's relatively young. Okay, but you can say.
But I did have a television show since 2003 that I've been producing.
Okay,
so
you would put in your television show, how many viewers you had of your television show,
mm-hmm.
how many unique visitors you have to your website.
Mm-hmm.
You basically want to explain, detail your following. Okay, so that your publisher, your prospective publisher says, wow, there's 10,000 people out there who know Priscilla, and a good amount of them are going to want to buy her book. That's great. Let's say, in addition to all this, you have a mailing list. You've been doing something else. You have a mailing list, and you say, well, I've got 15,000 people on my mailing list who receive a newsletter from me every month, or I have a database of people who receive my e-news every month. This is how many people do that. So, again, they want to know, how big is Priscilla's following?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows Priscilla, and who's likely to want to buy this book?
Right. So
maybe you have. Maybe let's say every year you speak, you deliver a speech to a convention, or you've done keynote presentations, or you've taught seminars. How many people attend those seminars? So it's really your platform is your reach. How far is your reach, and who knows you?
Right. Oh, so it's sort of like for other people, it's sort of like you putting together your press kit or you trying to get advertisers. For example, I am always on the lookout for new advertisers. And in order to do that, I have to send them all the literature I have about internet radio because it's a relatively new platform. And not many people know that it's the wave of the future with radio. So
right.
So I have to give them the ratings that Sam, the station manager owner, provides every month, and I have to give them articles that he sends. So I gather all that up. So it's basically gathering up your materials that you have and saying,
correct,
this is who I am. This is what, these are the people that are potential buyers is what they want to know.
Right.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly.
My email list. Yeah. So that's
that
makes sense. Great. Well, my goodness. We put that in perspective. Now I know the author platform. Now, what's the value of mentoring for a writer? So I know that you, when we were talking, you said that it feels like a lonely process. So you guys as mentors for the writer, what value do you think that they would feel? I mean, not for what they were paying. Of course, this is a company like any other company, so they have to pay for your services. What do you feel is the value of mentoring that you would do? What can you offer them?
Well, as I said, there's different kinds of mentoring that we do. I do the marketing mentoring with our clients. We have another person who mentors them through the writing process. And anybody who's ever sat down in front of a computer screen, and tried to write something, you know what it's like with writer's block. You know how hard it is to get started. It's hard, you know, if somebody who's writing a fiction story, you've got to come up with your character Bible. Who are your characters? What's their history? So that as you're writing the story, you're not just winging it. You have to have an outline. You do a backstory. There's the plot development. So where do I start? How do I do it? And what happens when I get stuck?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been there, and you know, pace, you go down to the beach, you walk around, you know, you do whatever you need to do to try to unblock yourself. So, what our mentors will do is really talk you through that, say, okay, let's talk about this character, or let's talk about this chapter in the book. What is it you want, what is it you're trying to convey here? What is this person trying to achieve, or what is the lesson you want somebody to take away from this chapter? And it's just really helping somebody work through that process and not feel alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a writing, you can call it a writing partner, you can call it a mentor. It's somebody to, it's sort of like writing therapy.
Right. Sort of like a buddy, a friend to bounce ideas off of, to get ideas from, someone to help you evoke new inspiration.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because it is a very lonely process. It can be a very difficult process. And even the team we have assembled, and we're all over the country, we keep telling each other, you know, you're not working in a vacuum. I have a coworker. I'm in Maine. She's in Los Angeles. And we joke about, we said, you know, we have this virtual office, so once in a while we meet at the virtual water cooler and get on the phone and just chat like we're hanging around the cooler, because you need that interaction.
Right. Especially when you're a writer and you don't know, you get stuck and don't know what direction to go in. Am I doing this right? Am I straying off the path? Because writers do have a tendency to start writing and then they ramble on and then they lose a whole chunk of time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you can go off on this tangent. We had one client who was working on a book, and she was writing from a woman's perspective, but I looked at the book and I said, but who are you really writing this book for? And she said it was for a male audience. I said, well, that's interesting. Why is the main character a female?
Wow.
And we talked it through, and this was actually from a marketing perspective. She was halfway through the process, and they said, well, why don't you talk to Sue about, you know, who your audience is and all that. And she ended up saying, you know what, they've been really struggling with the story, and she swapped her main character, who was a woman, with a secondary character, who was a man. So the main character became a man, and they started flowing beautifully.
Huh.
But you know, as well, it's very hard when you're doing this yourself and you can't quite figure out, there's something that's not working here, it's not fitting. And to have somebody on the outside help you work through that process. Now, once you have your own editor, let's say you sign on with a publisher, you have an editor, they will do that depending on how much time they have to spend with you. But what happens to all these first-time people who don't have an editor? You need to find somebody to guide you through the process and to give you an objective viewpoint and to tell you when something is absolutely stellar and when it needs to go in the circular file and start over again.
And that's what you guys are going to do for those writers, and that is what they need. Now, you talked about one thing that you said was remember your audience. As a writer, remember your audience. Define them, write to them, and remain focused on what will stir their emotions. Tell us a little bit about that. What do you mean, remember your audience?
Well, you know, again, we tend to write what we want to write. And you know, I tell people, you know, I've been doing this for years in marketing. Let's say I have a company, and I just think I have the best product on the planet for what I make, and everybody should want to buy it because it's great. Well, then I better understand who my customers are, because if my customers don't think it's great, this is like a mom who's so proud of her kid, and the kid is really mediocre.
Right.
You know, but mom can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
So as a writer, understand, who am I writing this book for? I don't care if it's fiction or nonfiction. Know who you're writing that book for. Because even though it's a very personal experience for you, if nobody wants to read it because it's not appealing to them, to their needs and to their interests, it doesn't hit their touch points, then you're not connecting with your reader.
Right.
So you need to understand, who am I writing this book for? Just like that client I told you who was writing in this female character, and I just... But you want this to be embraced by men, and men aren't going to want this tough female. That's not the client. That's not the character that they would get excited about. That's just not going to work.
Right.
So, same thing. She had lost the connection with her reader. She was putting herself into the story and assuming that the men would want to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always the case.
Right.
So I tell people right from the get-go, understand who that person is.
Right. And a lot of times they tend to want to give life to all of their characters, and they want to write for so many, and they want to put the whole story about this character and then the whole story about that character, and they end up with like 5 or 10 different ideas, and they take too much time, and it becomes scattered and fractured, and then it rambles on and on. So I know exactly what you mean. I mean, people, writing is just so personal, and that's what I wanted to ask you about. With them, say for example, you had a client that started to do that, and they just wanted to give, because you know writers love all their characters, especially if they're writing about a true story, they want to write about all their characters and tell as much about them as possible. So say for example they started to do that, and how would you go about, or what methods do you use to kind of hone them in to say, you know, you need to focus more on whatever they need, whatever you feel you need, they need to focus on. And say you did that and they said, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And then they went back to doing the same thing. What are the methods that Writers of the Round Table use to deal with, someone who may be difficult like that?
Well, one of the things we can do if we really can't get through to them is we would assemble a focus group of readers who match the demographic of the person they're trying to reach. We would send out a portion of the manuscript or the whole manuscript, depending on where it is. We send it out to the focus group, and that's anywhere, you know, sometimes it's 8 or 10 people who've agreed to read the manuscript, and we get their feedback. You get some objective feedback. So we can go back to the client and say, okay, well, you know what? Here's what everybody else said. Let's talk about it. And quite often, we get the consensus. You know, we've had occasions where, I'll tell you, for China Girl, 100% of the people absolutely loved the book.
Yeah.
There wasn't even an issue on the first draft of that. But we had another book where they came back and said, well, you know what, I think this, and this, and I would change this, and I had a little difficulty with this. You take it back to the author, and sometimes that's all they need. Maybe they're not willing to listen to us, which isn't always the case, but if they're still being very stubborn, they often will listen to the focus group. And if that's not the case, you know, we will do our best to guide them, but there's just so much you can do for somebody.
I know. And focus groups, I mean, you're getting an objective opinion. So now, what I want to talk about, including this focus group, is that part of the service. So now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty, the part that I always like to talk about. Let's talk money, honey. Now, how much is this going to cost me, baby? My question is, it sounds incredible. Incredible that you do all of these things. You have this great service. It sounds like a miracle, a dream come true. But as we know, dreams are very expensive. So my question is your service with the focus groups and the personal phone calls from Sue Publicover herself, is this a service that the average person can afford, or is this a service for people that probably are in the upper tax bracket? That's what my audience wants to know, Sue. That's what my audience wants to know. Show me the money, and how much do you want?
Well, you know, it's so funny because I was watching the commercial. I actually did Barack Obama's speech last week when he was talking about John McCain saying that, according to John McCain, anyone making less than $5 million a year is middle class.
I missed that.
I'm not quite sure where your parameters are here. But let me say that we have a la carte services.
Okay.
Like, for instance, when you say, how much does it cost to talk to Sue Publicover? I do a monthly coaching package with some clients.
Okay.
And, you know, on the average, that's $500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So can the average person afford it? Well, you tell me what average is. But
right.
I think, you know, professionals, yes, they can afford that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll go up from there. I mean, it depends on the level of service you want. Do you want us to write your book? Do you want us to market your book and design your book?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want us to help you build your platform? Do you want us to do the grassroots marketing? So it depends what level of involvement you want us to have.
Right.
So it starts at $500 to get the monthly, the marketing coaching to help you build your platform just by having me give you the ideas. And mm-hmm. people will, I do this via the phone, mm-hmm. and every, you know, we get on the phone 3 times a month mm-hmm. for a little over an hour each time. I give them assignments. I do some research for them in between. You know, it's a valuable service.
So I imagine they would have their manuscript and they would send it to you via email, and then you would look at it. Is that the first step? So they send it to you, you look at it. So they hire you, talk on the phone. Oh yes, Sue, mm-hmm. I want you to be my editor. So they send you their manuscript, and then you look at it, and then they send updated copies afterwards every time you give them advice and they make changes. Is that how you do it, phone and email?
Well, I don't act as their editor. I act as their marketing coach.
Oh.
Okay.
So you never see their work?
Oh, yeah, I do. Oh. I do. Because by that point that they want to get into marketing, usually their manuscript is at least halfway through. So I do read that, but I actually help them develop their marketing and their author platform. We have someone else that would do the mentoring and the coaching with the writing process.
Okay.
And if you wanted to co-author with one of our staff people, then you would do a call with them once or twice a week to work through the manuscript, write notes, do the editing together. So again, it depends on the service that you want. I mean,
okay.
I imagine you have listeners that are already partway through a manuscript and are looking for an editor slash coach, and we offer that.
Okay.
Maybe they've got the manuscript and they just don't know what to do with it. That's when they would talk with me as their marketing coach.
Okay.
So it depends at what point you are in the process and what your needs are.
Okay. So
but,
let's
it is, I mean, it's not an inexpensive service by any means. I'm not going
right.
to say that, but it's, you know, I'm a marketer. It's the value of mm-hmm. what you get for your money.
Right. And if you want to take it, if you're serious about writing the book, then you know it's going to cost money. So so let's talk about the individuals in your organization. We want to give them some credit. Let's say who they are and what their titles are. And why don't we also additionally, when we announce them and their titles, why don't we tell what that person would do for the writer?
Okay. All right. Well, as I mentioned, we have Corey Blake.
Mm-hmm.
His title is Chairman of the Dream. He is the founder. He's the top guy at the company. And Corey works at, he is a writer. He's been a film producer, director, and an actor. He's an incredibly dynamic, energetic, and exciting person. He works with the clients, building the concept, working through the details of what the story is going to be in the creative process. He does do some hands-on coaching and co-authoring with some of the clients, but he's more of the big picture guy. That's why he's chairman of the dream. He's the visionary.
Okay. Is he the first person that people would have contact with if they wanted to go through your service? Is there a, like, an assembly line, for a lack of a better word? Like, you'd go to this person,
yep.
and then you... Okay, so he's the first person you go to.
Yes, he's
okay.
a big component. He's the number one. He's the first. He's the guy you start with.
Okay, he's the one you give your credit card to. Okay, so...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And once it clears, then they move on down the line to the other people. Love
right.
it. Love it. Okay,
right.
So then let's move on to the next person. So who would I go to next?
Well, again, it depends on what you're going to do. We have Eva Silva Travers, who is a writer, actress. She's out in Los Angeles. She's amazing, very creative. Our clients love working with her. And her title is Director of All Things Creative.
Mm.
So she's the one that would work with you, whether it's a screenplay or a manuscript. She would be the overseer. She might be the co-author, depending on what the nature of it is. She also has a few writers working for her.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what the project is,
Again.
But Eva is that connection point.
Okay, and where do we go after Eva?
Then we have Kim Jackson, who has just joined us. She hasn't got a creative title yet. She's basically our publicist.
Mm-hmm.
She's a PR pro. and she works with a lot of our clients getting press coverage, making connections with the media.
So is she the one that would get that? She would be the one who would help to promote the book with various venues? Okay.
She looks for the story angles.
Great.
She tries to find ways to publicize the author or the book.
Excellent.
So she works very closely with that. She does a lot of the grassroots efforts as well. She and I partner together quite a bit on the book promotion and the marketing.
Okay.
And then we have Nathan Brown. Nathan Brown is the doer of things designed. He's our graphic designer. He did our website. You mentioned about our website.
Gorgeous.
He does the design. You saw the China Girl book cover.
Oh, I love that. That was just spectacular.
Wasn't that gorgeous? That was absolutely gorgeous. I have to tell you.
I wanted to do wallpaper off of that China Girl book cover. I wanted to do my bathroom in that book cover.
Well, why don't you buy a few more copies and then you can decoupage it?
That is so true, huh? Good sale. See, he can tell you in marketing.
We have a new book coming out this fall. It's our first children's book. It's called Ducky and the Ocean Protectors.
Mm-hmm.
And wait till you see the cover for this and the artwork. It's just absolutely phenomenal. And he's done a great. We worked with an illustrator, but Nathan did such a great job with it, and it's really an exciting book. So Nathan is fantastic. He does most of our graphic design. We do have another designer who works with him, but he does the websites. He does the media kits, the press release design. He does all of our graphics.
Okay.
And then we have in Hawaii our Lorraine Walsh. She's the caretaker of the calendars.
Mm-hmm.
She keeps us all organized in the virtual world.
She is very organized, too, Sue. When I was trying to hook my friend Ernest Thomas up to Corey, oh, my God, she would I'd email her. She emailed me right back, and then I was trying to schedule a telephone interview, and she's like, you know, right on top of it. I said, oh, I wish I had an assistant like hers instead of mine that takes 14 vacations in a month. So I just liked Lorraine.
She's amazing.
She was on top of it.
Lorraine is great, and Lorraine also pursues speaking engagements. She will research that and try to find speaking engagements for our authors to help build their platform.
Fantastic.
And then we have one more person. We have Lindsay Luttrell, who handles our social networks. She does the Facebook and the MySpace pages for some of our clients. And she also does research. So she does blogging and research, and she keeps those pages updated.
We forgot you.
Well, then there's me. Yeah.
And you're responsible.
I already told you about me.
All the marketing queen, the marketing marvel.
Yeah.
Say the marketing marvel.
The diva of the marketing stuff.
The marvel of the marketing world. Well, we have 3 minutes left, and what I basically want to ask you now overall, Sue, it sounds fantastic. It sounds wonderful. I hope people are not intimidated by any prices, because if you have a vision, you have a dream, and you want to get it out there, it is something that is going to be a legacy. It is something that you're going to leave behind. Unless an alien comes and blows this world to smithereens, or we have another Ice Age, the book is still going to be there. Okay? So it's going to be in the annals of history, and that's what you're paying for. And if you want help and you can afford it, great. If not, then I'm sure that you can break it down and maybe use one of these services at a time. And I just highly recommend Writers of the Roundtable. Now, we want to know what other exciting products you have. I know you told me about the little duck book or the little book. I can't remember the name of it now.
Ducky and the Ocean Protectors.
Ducky and the Ocean Protectors. Real quick, we got 2 minutes. Anything else you want to tell us exciting about Writers of the Roundtable or anything at all?
Well, we've just got a whole bunch of different books. We've got another book coming out at Christmas time, Excalibur Reclaims Her King by Angelica Harris. Mm. It's the third in her series. It's a mythical fantasy, but it's a New York mom who ends up going back in time to the days of Camelot. And it's very, very exciting, fun, different kind of a book.
Fantastic.
So we've got that coming out. We've got a lot of clients that we work with. I mentioned Robert Renteria. His book is just doing phenomenally, because the word has spread about Robert and his message to to the youth, to the educators, to the parents about helping kids make a better choice.
Yeah.
And you know about Sophie McTarry's book, China Girl. Which
absolutely.
Is phenomenal.
You are breaking up, Sue. I don't know what's going on, but I hear like a lot of scratching. I think it's something with the internet. I'm going to say thank you so much, Sue. I really appreciate your time. Eat a lobster for me, please. Oh, that's
please
right. I'll kill you. That's right. You're allergic to shellfish. Oh, never mind.
Yeah,
okay, go whistle at a hot fisherman for me then. Thank you.
Okay, that I would be happy to do.
Okay. Thank you so much for coming on. Again, writersoftheroundtable.com. Thank you so much, Sue. We hope to talk to you again in the future. You have a great day.
All right.
Okay?
Thanks, Priscilla.
Thank you,
bye-bye.
Sweetheart. Bye. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much. I want to thank you for tuning in. That was Sue Publicover again, writersoftheroundtable.com. We have Erin Ver next week. She is a producer, director, and she is one of the hot, hot, hot people in Hollywood. So you don't want to miss her. And I want to thank you all. Have a great day, and we'll see you next week on Question Reality.
Do you need a website but don't think that you can afford one? Do you dread the thought of even doing the research to find a company that you can afford? Do you cringe because you know that the person you talk to will try to sell you more than the advertised price? At Design on a Dime websites, we pride ourselves in being able to design original, professional, efficient, creative, and extremely affordable websites. Your website design will load fast, be customized to fit your needs and vision, and be presented in a clear, concise, and easy-to-read format with user-friendly link navigation. We challenge you to find a company that has lower prices and better customer service with beautiful, original designs. So, gather some dimes together and call us today at 213-687-6903 or visit us on the web at designonadime.us for your personal consultation with a very friendly representative who will be able to give you a great website that fits your budget.